got to let people be who they are and believe in what they want to be.
So what do you think? Do you think the law enforcement is not telling the truth? Do you think that they led him on? Or do you think it's possible your son really was plotting something?
Well, I'll tell you what. If he posted some things, he may have said some things out of anger, right? If he posted some stuff on social network, you know, it's there. You know, they have access to that. But what I'm saying is this. An informant turned this stuff over to the FBI months ago, right? And introduced him to another friend, right? Which happened to be an FBI agent, right? And I think Chris has only left the house to go anywhere like maybe two or three times in months, you know, in months. And that was, he was supposedly going to a mosque. Well, in actuality, what I believe was it was an FBI agent picking him up, taking him maybe to an apartment. And I think Chris was coerced into a lot of this.
Well,
I can't, I mean, I know he's my son, but I would be the first, you know. Heck, I wish I could go over there and fight ISIS, but I'm an old man. You know what I mean?
Well, Mr. Cornell, but, I know this has just got to be stunning for you. I know, you know, you thought he was sleeping at home last night. He left a note for you saying he was going to be leaving, that he'd left home, and that was the first word you'd gotten of that. I appreciate you talking to us, and we'll continue to follow this. We'd like to talk to you again, Mr.
Yeah, one other thing, yes, Anderson.
Yes, sir.
He had money saved up. He had a seasonal job. He worked across the street, had a seasonal job. You know, he had $1,200 saved up to his name. And these guns that he supposedly purchased today were over $1,700.
You're saying he didn't
have money. I want to know where he got that other $500.
Right.
I think that was supplied by the FBI.
Mr. Cornell, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Anderson.
I want to talk about this. I want to bring in former FBI and CIA counterterrorism official, Philip Mugg. Philip, you hear the dad there saying, who's understandably, I mean, he says he's completely stunned by this. Obviously, he believes maybe the FBI gave money to his son. Maybe the FBI kind of led him down a path that he might not otherwise have been on. What do you make of those comments?
There are inflection points in these cases that are common, Anderson. Obviously, we don't have the facts of this case, but I've seen so many of these, I can give you some predictions about what happened here. Somebody, an informant, comes into the FBI and says, I'm talking to somebody who's angry. Father there, as you just heard, talked about his son being angry, recent conversion. FBI agent starts to run the operation. The kid starts to say, I want to do something about it. The kid doesn't have any money. He talks about acquiring a weapon. You got a couple options. You can say, we won't give you the money. At that point, you don't control the operation. That kid might say, hey, I'll go someplace else. All of a sudden, the operation is very difficult to understand. Maybe he goes and finds a weapon someplace else and conducts an operation you don't know about. So you step along to close this out over the course of months. You ask him a dozen times. This is the informant. You sure you want to do this? You sure you want to do this? A dozen times the kid says yes. What are you supposed to do in this situation? I feel for the dad. I'm sure he didn't know. But when that case walks through the door, you got a couple options. Let it go and move it along so that you own it, or step away from it and risk that the kids does something you don't know about a year down the road.
It's interesting you bring up the idea that if, you know, because some people look at it and say, well, look, it's the FBI leading somebody on to do something they otherwise wouldn't. You're flipping around, yeah, and saying if the FBI doesn't kind of walk down that path with him, he may go down some other path with some other people that they have no access to or control over.
Sure, you want to own the case. I think there is a broader cultural issue here, Anderson, and that is this kid, I'm guessing, and we've seen cases like this, you remember recently in Ottawa, that attack on Parliament. We saw that axe attack in New York City a few weeks ago against a policeman. We talk about the terrorism or radical Islamic angle. We don't talk about the emotional or psychological state of the person. My guess is this individual, remember, this is a classic lone wolf, unlike the cell in Paris. Probably, and this is just a guess, but probably in a lot of cases I saw, maybe has some emotional or psychological issues. When you go in front of a jury of his peers, the first thing the defense attorney is going to say is this is entrapment. Case after case after case, at the front end, a parent or friend will say it's entrapment. The jury looks at the tapes, for example. I'm guessing the informant was taped up. And the tapes show a dozen times this kid will be saying, I want to do it. I want a gun. I want to go kill somebody.
That's interesting, though. In your experiences, though, watching this kind of stuff, following these kind of cases, both with CIA and FBI, you've seen people, some people who are ideologically motivated, some people who do have actual connections to groups or reach out to groups, and some people who just have emotional problems who yeah. whether it's aspirational or not, kind of claim some sort of connection.
That's right. I think you can make a quick distinction when you see a case. As soon as the case expands to two or more people, that is conspiracy. You can guess that the emotional or psychological state of those people is more stable. They're involved with a group of people who are collectively making a decision. When you see these lone wolves, one of the first questions I have, because people in this country want to vilify Islam. I'll get attacked probably for this interview, Anderson. The first question I have isn't whether this guy is a true member of ISIS. He's certainly not, whether he's even a sympathizer of ISIS. My first question is, what's the psychological evaluation as soon as he gets to the federal prison?
Interesting. Phil Mudd, appreciate your expertise. Thanks. A quick reminder, make sure you set your DVR so you can watch 360 whenever you want. As I said, there are a number of developments today, both here in the United States and overseas as well. Week after the deadly terror attacks in Paris, a disturbing report that the gunman had rocket-propelled grenades, or at least one RPG, and a plan to use them to take down a plane. I'll speak with a French reporter.